as the Egyptian army is pursuing the Jewish people and they're getting closer and closer, the Torah tells us in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud, Ufaro Hikriv, V'yisu b'nei Yisrael esenehem, V'hinei, Mitzriim nosea achreihem. The Jewish people are fully aware of the fact that Paro is running after them, he's getting closer, and understandably, V'yiru mo'od, they're filled with fright, V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They cry out to Hashem. They daven to Hashem. Rashi tells us, commenting on this, Tafsu umnus avosam. They adopted the craft, as it were, of their forefathers, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rashi goes on to list very famous psukim in which we know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, respectively, all daven to Hashem. It says about Avram, Ela makom asher amad sham, by Yitzchak, lasuach basadeh, and for Yaakov, vayifka b'makom. And all of those psukim are interpreted and understood by the Gemara as alluding to the various avos davening to Hashem. The Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory, aside from many, many other leadership and even scholarly achievements, is perhaps one of the greatest expositors and analysts and students of Rashi, certainly in the last few generations, and maybe one of the greatest ever. He used his enormous, enormous intellect and knowledge to give tremendous sichas, as he would call them, analyses, long talks, all delving into various nuances of Rashi, discovering heretofore underappreciated gems, perhaps hidden in plain sight, that people didn't realize that really helped us appreciate Rashi and help us understand what Rashi is trying to get at. In a sicha that the Rebbe gave almost 50 years ago, he analyzes this pasuk and specifically this brief comment of Rashi in great depth. Number one, asks the Rebbe, what was bothering Rashi that forced him to comment at all? The pasuk seems pretty straightforward without the need for any additional commentary. There was a problem, a crisis, the people cried out. What does Rashi need to add anything? Moreover, this is not the first time that word, v'yitzaku, is used. Earlier on in Sefer Shmos, when the Jewish people are still enslaved, in Perek Bet, it says, v'titzaku ta'al shavasam elokim. And here, and there, Rashi doesn't say a word. So how come here, Dafka, Rashi comments? Third, why does it refer to the fact that our avos prayed as umnus shel avosam, the craft, or so to speak, the profession? It's just a weird phrase. You don't wouldn't think of it naturally as describing the fact that the avos davened. And last but not least, the Rebbe points out that, as we said, all three of the psukim that Rashi quotes about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are psukim that undoubtedly Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral tradition, understands are allusions to prayer, to tefillah. But to be honest, none of them are very clear or explicit references to the Avos davening. However, the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out with great specificity, but all three of the Avos, we have other examples where the Torah is explicit that they davened. So if you want to quote psukim to illustrate that the Avos davened, and connect that to the Jewish people davening on the banks of the Yamsuf, why not pick psukim in which the Avos are explicitly referred to as davening? Why pick the psukim that Rashi indeed selected, where it's only hinted at and alluded to the fact that the Avos davened? Why not give better examples? These are the four questions of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, all on this very brief Rashi. And in order to answer this question, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has the following beautiful and profound insight. He says, Rashi was basically bothered by a fundamental question. Hashem had already promised the Jewish people numerous times, conveyed in numerous psukim, that he would not only take them out of Egypt, but he would successfully bring them into the land of Israel. So therefore, says the Rebbe, I have a simple question. If the Jewish people believed in and trusted Hashem's promise, then why are they scared? And if they no longer believed in Hashem's promise, then what are they davening for? It's the classic catch-22, Maman of Shach. There's no need to daven, and if they feel there is a need, then who are they davening to? Clearly someone who they don't trust and they don't believe in. So therefore, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is what was bothering Rashi. And therefore, Rashi specifically refers to the fact not only that the Avos davened, but the Avos davened as an umnus. It was what we translated before as their craft. What does that mean, says Lubavitcher Rebbe? It's that the Avos didn't just daven when they had a specific need. Umnus means they were, so to speak, professionals at davening. Next, that they were good, it is describing who they were. They always davened. It was part of who they were, their essence. They didn't just daven when they needed something. They davened regularly and consistently, even when they didn't need anything, because they realized that davening is ultimately about having a relationship with Hashem. And as we all know, communication is the key to any relationship. You can't just talk to someone when you want something. God, I have a problem, please help me. Or you got a good thing and say thank you, but never talk to Hashem, have no relationship with him outside of that or beyond that. Therefore, the Avos regularly talked to Hashem. It was their umnus. It was part of who they were. It was part of what they did. Yes, it's true that they sometimes had a need and davened to Hashem like anybody else, but they didn't limit their davening to that. That was the essence of the Avos, and therefore, that's why the three psukim were chosen, because in all three of those cases, in context, there's no obvious need that the Avos were davening for. On the other hand, the explicit psukim that the Rebbe references are all examples where the Avos specifically needed something. For example, Yaakov was davening, please save me from Esav. Yitzhak is davening to help Rivka conceive. So those are explicit needs. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what was being conveyed, said the Rebbe. What was being conveyed was that it was an umnus, that this is what they did. They davened even when they didn't have a need. And therefore, says the Rebbe, now we understand why Rashi not only refers to it as an umnus, but why Rashi felt the need to comment what he's conveying and why he did it in the way he did. Rashi is telling us that the Jewish people were davening at this point, even though, of course, they still trusted Hashem. They still believed in Hashem. They didn't have anything genuinely to fear. But they saw this as an opportunity to be like their forefathers, to be tofes in the umnus of their forefathers. Just like their forefathers regularly davened, because that's part of a relationship, this is a normal situation, which even though they trusted Hashem, if they have a relationship with him, they're going to talk to him. And that's exactly what they did.